started our new series, Does Your World Feel Upside Down? And we had opened with a video last week. We have a continuation of that video today. I'd like to thank those who were a part of the video. Some are just people from our community, but they all gave honest responses. Some are members of this church that you'll recognize. Thank you to Denise Callerman. I won't make her stand up either, who put together the video. At this time, why don't we run it, and then I'll be back to share. Thank you. Mm-hmm. How many of you have a spouse who's just an awesome worrier? Yep. Mm-hmm. A parent? Yep. We're good at worrying, aren't we? It's pretty much human nature, second nature. We can find ways to worry. We find things to worry about. There's times where I'll just be sitting. It might even be in the morning. I might have my Bible open, and then all of a sudden I'll think of something, and it'll be like, yeah, that could go wrong. It's like the next thing I know, I'm just like caught in this trap within my own mind. Some of the things that were touched on in the video, and I would imagine each and every one of us, there was something in there that it's like, whoa, like that's part of my story. I totally identify with that person. When it comes to things like retirement, I really feel that God has just told me, don't worry about it. And there's times where he gets in my grill and just says, no, I told you, do not worry about that. You don't control tomorrow, but we know who controls tomorrow. We don't, but God does. I recently had eye surgery, and I think that most of you who attend here regularly are aware of that. And I think that I got a really good doctor. It was the kind of situation where I met him one day, and he said, I'll meet you over at the hospital tomorrow morning at 6:15, and I'm going to take some sharp objects to your eye. He didn't say it exactly that way, but that's what he did. Well, you know, after that happens, you look forward to getting the bill in the mail, don't you? And then not only getting the bill in the mail, but seeing how much insurance is going to cover. Because insurance, I don't know who these actuaries are that figure out all these different things, but most of them are inspired by Satan himself, and I know that. So here's what I got in it. I'm not going to give you the amounts, but they're large. But then highlighted, in case I didn't get it, it says per Blue Cross Blue Shield, just putting in a word for Blue Cross Blue Shield today, something about an exclusion rider assigned by underwriting. They didn't pay 10 cents. They paid nothing for it. Now, we're appealing that. But that's not the kind of thing that you want to get. But then I'm thinking, okay, Sunday I'm going to be preaching about not worrying. So I get my shot at not worrying about something. But in the course of this week, after getting this bill, something else happened that was just kind of a fun thing. Here's the thing. Am I going to not exhale until this matter gets taken care of? No. I'm going to exhale. Folks, you have things that are going on in your lives that you just need to exhale. Maybe that's all you need to do this morning. You just go, God's going to take care of this. I don't know how he is, but he's going to take care of it. And we're going to look at a major passage of Scripture this morning that deals with worry and the very words of Jesus. My response to this was, okay, now I know I got this huge bill coming. But when the Blackhawks won on Monday night, I just thought, I might not have another chance to go see a Stanley Cup champion team, because they are the champ still. So I texted Russ and said, hey, you want to go to the Hawks game Wednesday night? And he's like, sure, of course. So we decided to go to the game on Wednesday night. I knew that it wasn't as expensive as I thought it was going to be, but I just thought, you know what, I'm not going to not spend another dime, I'm not going to not have joy in my life just because I get a bad bill in the mail. So we decided to go to the game. When I was at the game, one of the things that, and I put this on Facebook, and I know some of you saw this, what the cool people do, they have these smartphones. I have an unintelligent phone, okay? I can take pictures, and then I can text them to my email, and then from my email at home, I can get them onto Facebook. But I can't do this real-time stuff, okay, because I don't have an intelligent phone. But I forgot to take a picture altogether, and I really wanted to get one. However, several people from the church and friends of mine, well, we ended up on TV at the end of the game. Do you have that photo, Russ? There we are. The game was over. They'd won 4-3 in overtime. And there's Russ, he's got his jersey on, and I do have a Blackhawks, it is a Blackhawks shirt, but I'd already put on my jacket to go. So I didn't think too much of it, except I was getting texted before I even left the United Center, hey, you're on TV, and I don't care how old you are, it's still exciting to be on TV, you know? It's just like, and I think it was a pretty decent picture of both of us, Russ. I thought that was pretty cool. Well, by the next morning, one of our friends had extracted us from that and put us in the front row at a Cubs game. And then from there, these friends from all over were just putting us in, I mean, we were in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Go to my Facebook page. It should be open. You can just, I'm the only Paul Glyman in the known universe. Check it out. But then there was one more. I'm not going to go into all the photos, but there we are. Okay? Now, where do people think this stuff up? I don't know. Okay. Thanks, Russ. Now, I know, like, Heidi's downstairs, which means I can preach on anything this morning, but she's working with the kids. But one of the things that, you know, I'll say to her, well, it fit into the message, and she knows me that I can always get something to fit. But it really does, because if I had just said, you know what, because I got a bill in the mail today, I'm not going to go to the Blackhawks game, none of that stuff would have happened. There's got to be like about 20 of these photos with us showing up everywhere. People were playing Where's Waldo at work the other day with us. And none of that would have happened if I'd just said, okay, I'm just going to live my life differently and worry. God does not want us to worry. He really doesn't. He wants to get that through our hearts, that he wants us to have just sheer joy in the midst of things being uncertain. See, that's the first thing with this series. I'd love to just say, we've got this special elixir. We can sell it to you for $5. You take it, it'll turn your world right side up. No, stuff's going to happen. Stuff's going to go wrong in your world. The question is, how are we going to live in the midst of that before Jesus returns to make things right? Let's pray for a moment, then we're going to read from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. There are some people that need a tap on the shoulder, and they need you to whisper in their ear, do not worry. I love you, and it's going to be okay. Father, speak to us. Speak your peace into our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from a passage, Matthew chapter 6, that I think you're pretty familiar with. Let me just preface it by saying, many years ago on a mission trip, I was in Mexico. Everything that could have gone wrong one day did. We got in a bus accident, all sorts of different things. We ended up getting to where we were supposed to be, but 8 hours later than we were supposed to, and we've got vacation Bible school the next day in this little Mexican village. And we're not prepared. We're not ready. The day got so far off. On a mission trip, I'll always give a team a chance to, you can lead a horse to water. You can't make him drink. But we always take a half hour and let students read from God's word. And we have a little devotional guide. We never even got to that day because things just got so messed up. That night, I was laying on my air mattress on this floor in this church near Monterrey, Mexico, in this little village. And I read Matthew chapter 6. Where Jesus says, do not worry. And I read it, and then I'm telling you, it's like Jesus started yelling this at me. He's like, do not worry. I'm like, but Jesus, tomorrow we don't, do not worry. And he got it through my head, and we had one of the best weeks of vacation Bible school that I've ever experienced. It was 1990 in Mexico. We had a great group of teenagers that were with us. I found out later that this one young lady who had just graduated from Oral Roberts University went on to be Educator of the Year in the state of Oklahoma. So God knew he had us covered, okay? He had the right team members in place. But we mess up our own lives when we worry, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Some people are so worried something's going to happen, you've seen it, they make it happen. They make the negative circumstance happen because they're so worried that it could have happened. If you have a Bible from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, I'm going to read it. We're going to do a little commentary, and then we're going to come back to the final two verses at different points in the message. Therefore, I tell you, this is Jesus speaking heart to heart to you today. Do not worry about your life. That's pretty all-inclusive, isn't it? Don't worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body. I think health care would be tied in there. What you wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? Now, I've got to say this at this point. I don't worry about food. I sometimes worry I'm going to get the food I really like. I like food. How many of you like food? It's good stuff. I mean, God was so creative and gave us so many different things. And as Americans, so often we can have anything we want. Clothes. Some of you have heard this story before, but I get a kick out of it. Years ago, when I was working with teenagers back in the 80s, there's a young lady from the youth group who's a part of this church. And she said, Paul, one of the things that inspires me about you is that you give all your money to missions and to the poor, and instead of like buying nice clothes for yourself. I said, Tammy, I do try to give to missions and help those who are less fortunate, but I think my Miami Vice clothes are pretty cool, okay? Because this was the 80s. Some of us worry a lot about things that are pretty inconsequential. What Jesus is saying is, I'll take care of your needs. Now, there's a whole difference between wants and needs. There really is. There's things that we want, and there's stuff that we really need. And what Jesus is promising us here is not everything that you want. I'd love to tell you this morning that we have this other special teaching and that all you have to do is do this, this, and that, and then God will give you everything that you want. No, it's not what it says here. He says he'll give you what you need. He goes on to say, why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor is dressed like one of these. This spring, as you start to see the trees bud and the flowers come out, probably by early August this year, okay? But as you see that, remember what Jesus says here. They're dressed nicer than you are. They're dressed nicer than a potentate, okay? They're dressed nicer than dignitaries. If God does that, if he's that lavish in how he takes care of something as simple as a flower that's here today, and tomorrow it's scorched by the sun, if he does that, he'll take care of you. When you see the birds of the air, and I've got my bird feeders out, and I just love seeing the birds. And it's kind of nice. It's like having pets that are outside the house. They come. I can enjoy them. I see them. I don't have to clean up after them. I do spend a lot on bird seed, but it's worth it. It's an absolute joy. But every time I see a bird, it just reminds me, don't worry. If a bird like flies right in front of my windshield, that's like Jesus screaming at me, don't worry. They just remind me of that. So this spring, as you see birds, as you see flowers, remember this passage of Scripture. Remember what Jesus is saying. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Don't go home and say to your spouse, oh, you of little faith. Such a kind little expression, isn't it? I'm just trying to be like Jesus, okay? Don't use that on one another. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Here's the rock solid bottom line. God's going to take care of you. I've never run out of clothes. Now, I know some of us have faced different seasons in life. 3 years ago, for the first time in my adult life, other than when I was a teenager, and I wouldn't say it qualified then, I was unemployed. I did not have a source of income. One of the things that has struck me over the years is I've seen people go through seasons of unemployment. And for some people, it's a very brief season. For me, ultimately, it ended up being a brief season. For that, I'm very grateful. For some people, it's more extended. But the faith of a person can truly be seen in how they deal with that season of life. Like I say, for me, it was a short one. But I've seen men who were very successful, but not men who knew Jesus, go through unemployment, and it almost destroyed them. Their identity was tied up with their job. Their identity was tied up with their ability to make money. I have seen people who have trusted God, people that I wouldn't have thought were the most spiritual people in the world, but man, when they went through unemployment, they showed that they trusted God, that they were not worried about tomorrow, because ultimately, and here's the question you and I each need to answer, who is your provider? Who is your provider? I can tell you right now, West Hills Community Church ultimately is not my provider. God is. And I don't care who you work for, Starbucks, General Electric, wherever you might work, that is not your ultimate provider. Your provider is God. If we believe that, and we believe that God loves us, it helps us on the journey. The reason why Jesus doesn't want us to worry is not so we can just be worry-free people. He says he knows what that worry does to us. It messes us up. It really takes us down, and he doesn't want that for us. Let me just say a few practical things about money, because I did say something about some people can misinterpret. Here's just some real simple stuff about money. Don't spend what you don't have. Don't spend other people's money either. They don't like that. I'll just let you know that. Here's something that some of you have paid me so that I will say this so your spouse will hear it, okay? It's not true. Just because there are paper checks left in the book does not mean there's money in the account, okay? Some people make that mistake. And just because the magnetic strip on the back of a credit card is still valid doesn't mean that you really can afford to make the purchase. Don't spend what you don't have. It's a pretty simple thing, and I know some of you are probably ready to scream right now. It's like, that's not the issue. I don't have enough supply. God wants to encourage us with that he ultimately is the one who's going to provide for us, and we haven't run out yet, and he's going to find a way. I realize we can't touch on everybody's circumstance here today. Who's your provider? Is it God? If God's your provider, you're going to do okay. In Genesis chapter 22, if I were to say to you, when I looked it up, I didn't really realize where the expression came from. The expression Jehovah Jireh. In the Old Testament, God has many names, and Jehovah is the name of the Lord. And then after that, there was a number of different expressions that were used to define who the Lord is. In Genesis 22, it's Jehovah Jireh. And some of us remember the old song, Jehovah Jireh is my provider. And the point is that God is Jehovah the Lord, and he provides for us. He's the one who meets our needs. In Genesis chapter 22, it was Abraham who coined the phrase, who said, Jehovah Jireh is my provider. What was the situation? Here's Abraham, who's over 100 years old. And God has promised him he's going to have all these children. He's going to not just be a father of many, he's going to be a father of nations, of multitudes. That's why he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. So he's got this promise. His wife is almost as old as he is. She laughs at the promise, but they have a son, Isaac. And it's a miracle. And then God asks Abraham to do something in Genesis 22 that's unthinkable, to sacrifice his son. And yet Abraham is obedient. He doesn't know how God can possibly fulfill the promise to him if he sacrifices his son, but he knows God has told him to do this. And so he saddles up his donkey, he brings the firewood, takes his son, and they go up on this mountain for the sacrifice. And at the moment that knife is about to come down and he's about to sacrifice his son, God stops him. I don't understand everything about the story, and the story probably raises more questions than it answers. But in the midst of that, he proclaims that God will provide. And God did provide the ram, and he made another sacrifice, and God spared him. As cruel as we might think that story might be, remember that God himself allowed his own son to be sacrificed. And this was foreshadowing of that. And God doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't already done. But Jehovah Jireh is our provider. Now, there are some promises in Scripture that are unconditional and others that are conditional. There's a couple of things that it says here that we're going to get to that I think are very important for us to kind of unpack who this Jehovah Jireh is. There's some things we need to do. But I want to mention this. I saw an article on Yahoo. It talked about the seven keys to happiness. And I tend to read things like that, And I usually read them with a filter to see, are they expressing truth that God says, or are they just expressing worldly ideas? The thing that I find amazing is that a lot of secular sources will come to the very same conclusions that God has already told us thousands of years ago. Three of the things that they said, if you want to be a happy person, these are the highly happy people. They are people who regularly and directly express thankfulness. Not necessarily to God, but to their spouse. That's a good place to start, is to express gratitude and thankfulness to the people that are closest to you. That's going to be a really good thing in your marriage. But we also can express thankfulness to God. There are people who give. They give to other people. I mean, it's pretty simple, but the gospel is true. I had a chance this last week to overhear a phone conversation. Two people in a difficult circumstance, but one went out of their way to encourage the other one. In the end, I'm not sure that the person who was discouraged to begin with was any different, but the one who chose to encourage was even more encouraged, because when we give, we receive. That's just how that works. And even a secular source can see that. In the weeks to come, we're going to talk more about giving, about generosity, that is a way to turn things around. That's a way to change us. And one of the other things that it said in this article was, don't chase after stuff. I'm like, really, Yahoo? I mean, you advertise everything on Yahoo page. You want us to buy everything, but you say, don't chase after stuff. I wish there was just something I could stop all the ads on the internet, okay? Because they're always just constantly coming up on every page. There's truth in that. It's Jesus' truth. You can find it even from secular sources that we need to be thankful people, we need to be giving people, and that we shouldn't chase after stuff. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying here. Do you know that when you chase after stuff, did you ever look at something, maybe it was a new car, and it's just like, man, if I ever had a car like that, now I'd just be happy. Yeah, and I'd be cool. I'd be happy and cool if I had a car like that. And then you get the car. And do you know what happens? It doesn't take long before it becomes the new normal. And you're not driving in a car commercial anymore. It's just you and your life in this car. And some of your junk comes along with it, okay, in the back seat, in the front seat, maybe a fast food bag on the floor. It's the new normal. And then it's not so special anymore. And then you've got to get something else. Jesus knew that. Even Yahoo knows that. What does Jesus say, though? And here's the condition. Here's the part that we really need to wrap our minds and our hearts around. Verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's what he said. Make the kingdom of God and his righteousness one of the top 10 priorities in your life. No, he did not say that. Make it one of the top 3 priorities. No. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put God first. How do we put God first? That's a question that each and every one of us need to answer for ourselves. I'll tell you what, you're off to a good start this week. You're here. You chose to take time from all the other things that you could have done to say, I'm going to worship God on a Sunday morning. I'm going to give him some of my first fruits of time on the first day of the week, and I'm going to invest time in him. Do you invest time in God every day? Can you say, I seek God first? Do I put him first in my life? If we do, he's saying, you'll never have to worry about any of these things. You know, God has a way of providing for us. I can remember being in Haiti the first time, and we were on this transport vehicle. It was sort of a truck that was sort of a bus that's kind of different. And we were cruising along, and they stopped, and we were riding up on top of this thing. And these people lived in this hut, but they came running out, and the driver must have known that they had something for us, and they brought out pineapples and other things for us to eat. And here it was, these were Haitian brothers and sisters living in a hut, but they knew that we were there to serve them, and somehow they seemed to have enough to give to us. Never forgot that. It's almost 35 years ago, but I would never forget that. That God, if we seek him first, somehow we always seem to have enough. We have enough to share with others. We have enough to bless others. And in blessing others, we receive the blessing in return. Seek first his kingdom. I love just the whole concept of the kingdom of God. And I've mentioned this before. The key theme of the New Testament, of Jesus' teaching, the key theme of Jesus' teaching is not love, it's not mercy, it's not forgiveness, it's not truth. It's not sin, it's not hell, it's not heaven. The key element, the key theme is the kingdom of God. That's what he came proclaiming, that there is a king, and this king has a kingdom. And if you come into that kingdom, you get the protection from evil. You get the protection from a lot of different things. There will be provision. The king will provide for his people. There will be food. There will be shelter. There will be clothing. He will take care of you. But seek first the kingdom. Don't seek to live outside the parameters of the kingdom. Seek to live within the kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry. Don't fret. Exhale. Relax. Then there's verse 34. Thelma, as she shared last week and this week in the video, and she talked about the loss, the sudden loss of her husband. And this week she shared the part that life is hard. I would love to tell you that we have some special teaching, and if you make a contribution, you can have it, okay? Where life will have no trouble. Here's something I can guarantee you. Trouble's coming. Trouble is around the corner. I remember being at a National Youth Workers Convention out in San Francisco, and a very famous preacher got up, and he said, how many of you are like in trouble right now? How many of you aren't? How many of you, things are really good? A bunch of people raised their hand. He's like, by the time you get home, you're probably going to be in trouble. It's there. Here's how Jesus put it. The reason not to worry about tomorrow is because it's going to have enough trouble. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I know it's not like a memory verse. I know it's not like a good bumper sticker one, okay? But it's true. Life is hard sometimes. Life is really hard. But in the midst of that, in the midst of the difficulty, there's a lot to enjoy. There's a song that was written a number of years ago, and I know some of you guys are country fans. It's one of my favorite Garth Brooks songs. There's only one word I'd change, except it really rhymes, so I have to leave it in there. But I'd probably put, instead of chance, I'd probably have sovereignty. But that wouldn't make for a very good country song. Looking back on the memory of the dance we shared beneath the stars alone, for a moment, all the world was right. How could I have known that you'd ever say goodbye? It's a song about loss. And in this case, it's a love. But folks, we go through loss in life. And a lot of times we'd say, I'd like to change it. It goes on to say, and now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I had to have missed the dance. Holding you, I held everything. For a moment, wasn't I a king? But if I'd only known how the king would fall, hey, who's to say? You know, I might have chanced it all. But now I'm glad I didn't know. The way it all would end, the way it all would go, our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd had to have missed the dance. Folks, there's a lot of truth to that song. There's a lot of difficulty that we go through, and Jesus knows that in the difficulty, there's going to be strength that's going to be revealed in your life that wouldn't be revealed any other way. Philip Yancey puts it this way. Life must be lived going forward, but it can only be understood looking back. No matter how wise we are, no matter how much we can learn from other people's mistakes, we have to go this way. We have to forge through things we've never been through before. Looking back, we gain perspective on that, and that's why we live in a culture that so values the young, and we should value the young, but we should revere those who've gone before us. We should honor them. That's what Scripture says. But we live in a culture that does anything but that. I mean, how many times as we grow up do we realize, oh my goodness, like my parents went through this 35 years ago. How did I never figure that out before? I think I'll give them a call. Why is it that we can't see life that way? I've had the chance, more than probably most people, to be at memorial services. I was at one yesterday for someone I consider a mentor, Don Reed, passed away about a year ago, and the family had a private luncheon, which was we were honored to be a part of. But I'd like you to ask a question. What would folks say at your memorial service? Now, I know people wouldn't be this honest, but can you imagine people getting up there? Well, Paul, he was really, really good at worrying. He could have accomplished a lot in life if he just stepped out and did it and wasn't so caught up in himself and worried. Oh, that Paul, he could have done a lot of things. He could have touched other lives if he'd only thought about them instead of himself. If he wasn't so caught up in his own story and took the time to connect with other people's story. What would people say at your memorial service? That you lived? Do you know the whole thing about Abraham with Jehovah Jireh is that it was an impossible situation. And that's where God comes through the most, is when the situation seems impossible. Going to run another video if we've got that. If you can cue that up, thank you. It's a video that I'm sure some of you have seen. Came out a few years ago. Chick-fil-A uses it to inspire their employees that when you run into a person, when there's somebody in our restaurant, when there's someone in our drive-thru, they're a person and they've got a story. And here's the takeaway. And we're going to talk more about compassion in the weeks to come. But God doesn't want us to just not worry so we can be worry-free people. He wants us to not be so caught up in our story that we can take the time with the compassion of Jesus to feel somebody else's story. Let's run the video. Heavenly Father, there are those of us here today, we can laugh about worry, but for some of us, it's corroding away the possibilities that could be there in our lives. And I pray today that we would settle once and for all that you're our provider, that we would settle once and for all today, that we're going to seek you first. We're going to put you first. Whatever that means for us, and you alone can speak that word to our hearts. Father, some of us face what appear to be impossible situations. I pray, like Abraham, you would reveal yourself as Jehovah Jireh in the midst of the impossible. Father, forgive us for being so caught up in our stories that we have bound up your compassion. We've received it, but we've not shared it. Father, help us to be the people that bother to read the stories of others, to realize that we're surrounded by people. Thank you for the people of this community that opened their hearts and were very real as we interviewed them. Father, help us to hear stories around us. May we fulfill what you said about us, and that is that your followers would be known by one thing, by their love. Inspire us to that end, empower us to that end as we seek you first. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.